Hello and welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We bring you this ministry and these teachings as a way of bringing forth God's Word in a not so orthodox manner. And by that I mean that we produce this ministry and we produce these teachings through the Wash and Word hand car washing business. Now, you may not know what that is. My wife, Victoria, and myself, my name is Matthew Monona, and we opened up a car wash here in Churchill. We're on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we broadcast verse-by-verse Bible teachings over the air. If you turn to 107.1 FM while you're anywhere in the parking lot or waiting to get your car washed or getting your car washed, you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We play the five messages on a loop every week, five new ones. You can hear them originally aired on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. And the wash and word is simply what it says. We wash cars. That's how we earn money so that we can get out the word. And that is how this ministry was birthed, and that is how it will continue to go forth. We are a self-supported ministry, and we feel like Paul, that we don't believe that the word of God should be peddled, that we want to earn the money that it takes to keep the ministry alive. This is our reasonable sacrifice. And so we go ahead and deliver these verse-by-verse Bible teachings to you on the air. There's other ways that you can get them. You can go to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all about this ministry. You can find out all about the business. And, of course, you can download and listen to any of these messages for free. All right, let's get back into our verse by verse. We are in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. We just finished chapter 4 in our last study, and now we're going to be going into a subject that is Paul is dealing with a particular problem specifically. And while this chapter deals with a specific problem, the focus is on dealing with it more than the problem itself. And you'll see what I mean as we continue on through this chapter. The subheading in my Bible is Expel the Immoral Brother. And one of the problems within the church today, and apparently back then, and probably all through time as since the first church began, is that we have a growing number of sexual failures right there within the church. I mean, we see it all the time. A prominent pastor will run off with a church secretary. Immoral failure after immoral failure. A well-known evangelist will admit to extramarital relationships at some point in their marriage. We see it with the outing of the Catholic priests over the last few decades. Leaders and preachers are coming out of the closet and announcing their homosexuality and still becoming, or at least attempting to become and stay in their leadership position. And this is to say nothing of the masses of people that are following and learning from these men. It's to say nothing of the multitudes that sit under these teachings and do the same things that they're doing, only without the constant spotlight upon them. Now remember, in cities such as Corinth, casual sex, sexual promiscuity, that was the norm. It wasn't even bad, no one even batted an eyelash that there were prostitutes constantly outside of the temple, for instance. Nobody even gave it a second thought that the goddess Aphrodite and the priestesses and, again, the temple whores that stayed out there, they were fornicating literally right in the streets at night in front of all people to see. And nobody even gave a second opinion about it or even a second thought about it. In fact, many of the Christians that had grown up in that city were involved in doing the same things. A habit, no doubt, hard to break. Listen, the world may have changed a bit over the years since Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, but human depravity has not. And God certainly has not changed. And the call to sexual purity is the same now as it was in the first century church, as it was in the days of Noah. In this one area especially, the problem has not gone away. And today we see the same situation in our society, and God help us, in our churches. It is so commonplace to see sexual promiscuity and immorality and homosexuality and all of the things that the Bible talks about that are against him, that have the spirit of the Antichrist within them. And of course, the invention of the internet hasn't helped things one bit. Of course, if anything, they've gotten much, much worse. But we're living in a day and a time where people barely bat an eyelash over sexual immorality. When you have a president who could admit to extramarital affairs within the White House and yet go on to be a president for years after that, then there's a problem with that country. And chapter 4 sort of concluded a section of the letter that was dealing with pride. You know, Paul was dealing with the human wisdom of that day and age, especially of that city. He was dealing with the philosophers, and he was dealing with the pride of latching oneself onto a certain preacher or a certain teacher. But now Paul's going to shift his focus a little bit, and he's going to begin a new section of his letter, and it's going to deal more with particular behaviors and singular sins that plagued this church. And friends, they plague the church today. And one of those specific problems is, well, let's read verse 1, chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not even occur among the pagans. A man has his father's wife. Let's stop right there. Okay, first of all, ew. And second of all, I mean, let's hope maybe it was a stepmom or a second mom and not the actual birth mom. But nevertheless, my wife, Vicky, is a stepmom to two of my kids from a previous marriage. And so even if it was not the maternal mother and it was a stepmother, my reaction is still the same. Ew! Okay, I mean, Paul is talking about a very specific thing here, that people were having sex with their father's wives. And again, whether it was the actual mother or a stepmom, it doesn't matter. And you might say, well, why would Paul address such a minor, what most definitely has to be a small percentage of the problem when you're dealing with sexual immorality? Well, you might... The number might not be as minuscule as you might think. The cases of familial rape and even consensual incest is rising today, and it was rampant back then. It wasn't something that was viewed as completely and utterly repulsive. And as the spirit of the Antichrist grows stronger in the world, the fruit of the Antichrist grows the same. And so two things are seriously wrong here in this church, in this chapter, in this verse. And it is not the obvious that a man is taking his father's wife. And the fact that a young man is sleeping with his mom or stepmom, it may be disturbing at the very least, but Paul is saying that's not even the biggest problem. The problem goes beyond that. It says that it is actually reported. Okay, now, let's stop right there for a minute, because this is not a newsworthy story, I would hope. I mean, can you just imagine, you know, someone coming on the news and this just in, and then broadcasting that? I mean, this isn't something that is reported, and it's definitely not being reported in a way to expose that person or shame that person. No, what Paul is saying is actually being reported as a brag. People are bragging over this particular sin. They're being boastful of this heinous act. It's bragged about. There's no shame. There's no attempt to hide this act of immorality. And Paul is disturbed by the lack of action that is being taken against such a thing. You see, so it's not just the sin he's dealing with, which is, I said in the very beginning, it isn't the specific problem that Paul is addressing in this chapter, which the specific problem is sexual immorality, but it goes far beyond that. He's saying that you're not even ashamed of it. Worse than that, you're reporting it as if it's something that people would want to know. You know, Vicky stages she watches these shows that they stage these events in the streets, in the public streets, and they do it just to see how people would react. Like, I remember one of them was they had a crying baby was locked in the car. And so, of course, the camera crew and the undercover actors were all around there. But they would put this crying baby in the car with the windows up and it locked just to see if anybody would actually stop and try to do something about it. And it was amazing how little people cared about the events of other people's. Another one was that they did alcoholic surgeons. You know, the guy was drinking and he made it known. You know, it was just an act. But again, it was just to show how indifferent people can be. Now, look, I could see if a worldly, pagan, non-believer, you know, humanist was doing something like this. Okay, again, not that it's acceptable, but you can almost understand it. I mean, without Christ, we're free and we're left on our own devices, which always accounts for deeper and deeper sin and greater immorality. But this is Christians, friends. This is Christians that are doing this. And that's the other thing that Paul's addressing here. He's saying not only is there a problem with the act of a man taking his father's wife, and not only is there a problem that it's actually being reported in a positive, but the second thing he goes on to say is not even pagans do such things. Oh, that's got to sting. I mean, that's got to hurt. Paul is saying that you're even worse as professed Christians than those who walk around with no regenerative spirit whatsoever. It exceeds a pagan's tolerance for sin. Can you imagine a church or a Christian pioneering a sinful act that even among the pagans and the unbelieving world find it appalling? Wow. Well, unfortunately, this is what was happening back then. And again, God help us, because it's still going on today. Doing something that would cause an unbeliever to cringe at the mere thought of performing that particular thing, that's got to be the lowest low of Christianity. How depraved would a Christian have to act to solicit an outrage amongst Christians? I mean, amongst worldlings. And yet, it happens all the time. When we see these scandals come to light, these sexual failures amongst the religious clergy leaders, it causes the unbelievers and the world to cringe, to shake their heads, to, in disbelief, claim that they will never believe. If that's what Christianity is, they want no part of it. In fact, their words would go something like this: I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we close this teaching today, I would ask you to take a serious inventory of your actions and your behaviors. Oh, but the things I do, nobody sees, so nobody's getting hurt. Friends, nothing is unseen. And one day we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and all will be revealed. And I pray that when you stand there, you have the blood of Jesus covering you, because that is the only way you will hear the words, "Grace be unto you for the sins you have committed." So take a time, take a moment today, reflect on your behavior, change it if necessary. Thank God for the changes that have been made, and move forward in power. We'll pick it up again tomorrow in our next teaching. Join me here on this radio station, 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Remember, go to washandword.com. That's washed, letter N, word.com. And come over to the Wash and Word and let us work on your car. That's how we support this ministry. You have a blessed day.